And now, the ongoing global economic crisis continues. Another podcast from JSM and SMStudios.net. By WorldReports.org on AboveTopSecret.com. Enjoy. And now, the ongoing global economic crisis continues. Another podcast from JSM and SMStudios.net. By WorldReports.org on AboveTopSecret.com. Enjoy. Paulson diversion masked theft of $44 plus trillion treasury shootings NDC civil war confirmed Wednesday 9 January 2008 354 The State Department confirmed that Paulson died, Bush contradicted them. Citibank ordered to settle today, or its assets will be seized and frozen. Washington bloodbath will continue, if settlements keep being frustrated. Sensitive intelligence censored from this report, pending settlement today. Purpose of New Hampshire, to inflict Hillary on the world for the cover-up. Bullet likely scenario, Israel, bomb Iran with US, and we'll hand your money back. Bullet more indications of Paulson identity fraud being received from all over. Bullet see 26th December report for financial frauds behind the subprime crisis. Bullet see 5th January report for data and identity theft scamming crisis. Bullet please read the very important introduction appended to this report. By Christopher Story for SAF, editor and publisher, International Currency Review, World Reports Limited, London and New York, worldwideweb.worldreports.org. Press news and the archive button on the worldwideweb.worldreports.org homepage for Wantage reports, since April 2006. Left square bracket note, a new panel giving details of our latest publications, as they are made available, has been added right square bracket. Bullet please make a donation to help finance Christopher Story's ongoing financial global corruption investigations. Your assistance will be very sincerely appreciated and will make a real difference, hastening the necessary resolution of the worst financial corruption and global financial crisis in history. This website has been calling the shots, because of the hijacking of Wanda's settlement. Introduction, this is very important. The editor prepared the report below in order to expose the background to the entire Paulson episode and to place it in the context of what was really going on behind the scenes. In a case moving as rapidly as this one, a report prepared yesterday is overtaken by events today, and vice versa. Luckily, the editor was too tired at 5 a.m. British time to complete the posting of this report, because it became clear on the morning of 9th January that the absolute end of the line had been reached. Because of this understanding, we were in a much better position to deconstruct what that Paulson matter was all about. We summarize the position here in the context of today's news. Paulson, Kimmett and one further high U.S. Treasury official were shot, that is confirmed see below. Then, on the back of these horrible facts, Cheney's desperate disinformation apparat built a black ops sting, to the effect that Paulson was dead. We don't really know, despite post-mortem appearances quote, whether he is or not, but this is now a diversion, see what follows. Why, given that the shootings took place, was it necessary to build a sting, a possible lie that Paulson was dead, on the back of that fact? The answer to this has now become clear. It is this. Bullet post-settlement, there is to be endless silence. The few despised alternative media outlets that have tried to expose this historically unprecedented financial criminality are to be left out to dry. Now, in the cases of several outlets based in the United States, the relevant forces can do any number of things, cease payments, withdraw handlers, harassment, threats, whatever. But what can they do to silence us, within reason, and given our background and connections? The answer is, not a lot. So, as usual, they resort to the only game they know, dirty tricks. Bullet, since they want total silence to reign forever, and a veil to be drawn across this evil, stinking theater of criminality, The ideal solution for them would be to try to discredit the only sources that have led this hideous information into the public domain. So they tried it on, by elaborating on the shootings and possibly lying that Paulson had died. We still don't know what happened to Kimmett, by the way. See hard evidence of something very nasty, below. As you will see from the report below, this sting operation has not succeeded. Furthermore, post-settlement, the question remains, what are they going to do about Mr. Christopher Story? Here is a suggestion, rely on his goodwill. No, we won't be silenced. But, as you will also see below, we do try to be helpful, whenever we can. We will govern our responses in accordance with the future behavior of the forces who would like to shut us down without a cause. All we have ever done is, pro bono publico, to publish the truth about hidden criminality at the intergovernmental level that stinks in the nostrils of every normal human being who is not sitting on his or her brains. Now, please take note of this. In the text below, you will see that a section, which was to contain extremely sensitive intelligence, has been censored. This has happened because the editor and Mr. Cottrell were discussing this article yesterday and incorporated certain sensitive information which needs to be delivered into the public domain, and which will have devastatingly severe consequences behind the scenes were it to be publicized. Bullet B eavesdroppers overheard what we had planned, and telephoned Mr. Cottrell this morning to ask him to prevail upon the editor for the intelligence to be withheld. The editor has complied, but only on the clear, strict understanding that the Wanda settlement, which we believe may well be on the verge of implementation, is indeed effected today, 9th January 2008. Therefore, should it transpire later today that we have been deceived, the intelligence that has been censored from this report will be reinserted without further ado, since we will not be bound by any undertaking, if other parties have reneged on theirs, or double-crossed payees yet again. Purpose of New Hampshire, to inflict Hillary on the world for the cover-up. The substantial opinion poll lead of the Obama campaign immediately prior to the New Hampshire primary election, which vanished to yield a tiny majority for Mrs. Radomski Clinton yesterday, is of course connected to the crisis that we are having to report on this website. Mrs. Hillary Clinton is the criminalists' macro plan. To cover up their past giga thefts, they need this evil Jezebel in the White House. When it appeared that Obama was heading for a second primary win, which would have given him near impregnability, they resorted to their usual dirty trickery, fiddling with electronic voting machines. This subject is covered in the editor's book The New Underworld Order, which is dedicated to the late Andrew, Andy, Stevenson, who exposed the electronic voting machine fraudulence and was murdered by the dark forces for his pains in 2005. Lo and behold, New Hampshire uses the notorious Diebold electronic voting machines, which seem to exist not to count votes but to rig election outcomes. What a coincidence that there is a Bush crime family connection to Diebold. The American presidential electoral system taught to young Americans at school is a myth. The United States struts around the world telling everybody all about democracy and judging whether a foreign election is fair or not, while back home it rigs its own elections. This Turkemian election norm is being exposed along with the financial frauds exposed by this website. The dark forces intend to vote rig their way to a Hillary presidency. And while on the subject of deception, as usual, it is 10:15 p.m. here, UK time, on 9th January 2008. As far as the editor is aware, the settlements have not been implemented. This means that, having been deceived yet again, we will be left with no choice but to post the censored information referenced in this report. We removed the information on the basis that there was to be no further duplicity. But as Durkheim taught, duplicity in enemy is their norm. Likely scenario, Israel, bomb Iran with US, and we'll hand your money back 10th January, early morning UK time, We are receiving indications, as yet unconfirmed, that a total sum aggregating $43 trillion was stolen and transferred to Israel. If that is not the case, this was the intention, or else the funds are controlled by Israeli interests. Should this turn out to be accurate, then the geopolitical scenario is almost certainly as follows. Israel is blackmailing the United States, with the assistance of traitors inside Citibank and elsewhere in the U.S. banking system, and in the White House and the Treasury, to force the issue of bombing Iran, which the whole world believes would be an act of the most extreme folly imaginable. In other words, Israel may be saying to the United States, "Bomb Iran, and then we'll return the money. Not before." Let's hope this assessment is dead wrong. But if it isn't, you can imagine the multiple adverse consequences that may ensue. Deconstructing the Paulson diversion on January 8, 2008, a figure appearing to be Henry M. Paulson Jr., Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, appeared on CNBC talking about the economy and related matters. The voice appeared to correspond closely to Paulson's known voice. Whether this individual was Paulson or not is not confirmed, especially in the light of forensic examination of video footage of the event, and of earlier post-mortem appearances not dealt with here, but the TV show purported to be broadcast live. Mr. Michael C. Cottrell, M.S., the Executive Vice President and Treasurer of Ambassador Wanda's Emery Trust Group, Inc., therefore telephoned the editor to ask him whether he would publicize the sources of the information that Paulson was shot and gravely wounded on 28th or the 29th of December, and that he died shortly thereafter. This is done below. Peculiar to the United States, a mini-industry of doubles exists who hire themselves out to stand in for prominent people who have either been killed or who, for various pressing reasons, need to be absent when they are supposed to be performing. In an email received by the editor from an informed U.S. source at 4:41 p.m. UK time on 4th January 2008, on the subject of doubles, the source wrote, "It would be interesting to see if there is more than one Paulson running around. Lookalikes are used a great deal for people in sensitive situations, because they get murdered a lot, so they keep a spare, or use the spare in sensitive situations." Quote. Forensic deconstruction of earlier still photographs, video and alleged appearances raised serious doubts about the reliability of some of the images, according to several experts who have shared their analyses with us. However, let us assume for that Paulson himself was interviewed on CNBC at around 8 a.m. on 8 January. This presentation assumes, subject to issues raised in the sources cited below, that the real Paulson had suddenly materialized for public consumption. Furthermore, we had a contact who deliberately attended the Paulson event at the Westin Hotel in New York City on 7 January, having paid $20 entry fee. Although he sat at the back of the room, he thought that the person speaking was indeed Henry M. Paulson. Why did the U.S. Treasury not demand a retraction? If this was indeed the case, why did the U.S. Treasury not demand from the editor of this service an immediate retraction of our report that Paulson had been shot and had subsequently died? One would have thought that Paulson's office would have seen to it that the report was denied. Why did Paulson's office not issue a denial of the report? At no time has the report been officially denied. How very odd. Thus it would seem that the U.S. Treasury was in no way fazed by the fact that Paulson had been reported to have been shot and had died. Why on earth was that? Fact, Treasury compliance specifically confirmed that the following official was shot by Special Forces operatives on 28/29 December 2007. Bullet: Henry M. Paulson, U.S. Treasury Secretary. At 1:08 UK time on 3rd January 2008, a source who is special to this service emailed the editor as follows: "I was told that an undersecretary of treasury was also eliminated ". We have separate confirmation of this, reviewed below. This email is of course held on file. Shooting of Paulson confirmed by Treasury compliance at 2:30 p.m. UK time on 8th January 2008, Michael C. Cottrell M.S., speaking on an open transatlantic line that was immediately tapped into by inquisitive intelligence eavesdroppers, and so that these eavesdroppers would hear what he had to say, specifically and emphatically reiterated that U.S. Treasury compliance had definitively confirmed the shootings, which were expert pass-through shootings, and that see below, and that at least, in the case of Paulson, assuming he is alive, we have had no reports at this date of Kimmett having been seen since the shootings. Mr. Cottrell repeated this information with great emphasis for the benefit of the eavesdroppers. Mr. Cottrell then added that what we could not confirm was that Paulson had died later. However, the editor had been separately informed by a source citing the U.S. State Department that he had died, see below. If the fact that Paulson had died was a lie, it was perpetrated deliberately by the U.S. disinformation apparent, in order to sting the editor and to try to compromise our exposures. This desperate ruse has not worked. On the contrary, it has compounded the perpetrator's terminal problems, as you will see, if you read what we have to say now. Why, too, did the Paulson family not protest at the editor's report? Was Merritt Paulson, Mr. Paulson's son, resident at Lake Oswego, Oregon, not disturbed by this report? Apparently not. Was the report not officially denied by the Treasury, let alone the Paulson family, because the U.S. government despises what its cynical officials call the alternative media to such an extent that it refuses to recognize its existence? Put another way, since the report appeared in the so-called alternative media, was it not worth denying simply because, by definition, it could not be true? If so, what is the problem? Why all the concern? Since the report appeared in the alternative media, it supposedly cannot be true, and that's the reverse of the lie that, if a report has not been published in the so-called mainstream, A.K.A., sidestream, or latestream media, it cannot be true either. Welcome to Operation Mockingbird. Operation Mockingbird blocks coverage in the mainstream those correspondents who have flooded the editor with emails complaining that the report cannot be true, because it hasn't appeared in the mainstream. Need to look up Operation Mockingbird and dash the U.S. criminal counterintelligence community's long-established media control program, which has been running for decades. Just type Operation Mockingbird into your browser or Google and read all about it. This program has for decades successfully denied the American people the truth about issues that the criminal intelligence community, which controls the U.S. government, wishes to disguise or to obfuscate. Therefore, rather than shoot the true messenger with the usual knee-jerk response that the report hasn't been confirmed in the mainstream, so it cannot be true, serious students of the dark forces engaged in destroying America should equip themselves with this background, if only to spare the editor and others who are trying to prevent the collapse at the hands of these criminals from being inundated by emailers who haven't done their homework. Of course, the preceding observations do not address the post-mortem appearances of Paulson, which is a separate issue dealt with below. Report could not be denied, because the shootings took place. As it turns out, the Treasury could not deny our report of the shootings, even if it had been so inclined, because it was true, as we always knew to be the case. What then happened was that the, supposedly, false report that Paulson had died was used in a deliberate Cheney-directed black operation or sting ordered by Bush 41 through Bush 43 and Cheney, to discredit the editor of this service and the principals, with the following motives. Bullet to stall our ongoing successful exposures of the financial criminality, money laundering, drug trafficking and drug distribution operations of the criminal cadres, which have triggered the ensuing investigations, backed by law enforcement, extensive ongoing investigations, grand jury hearings, internal affairs and other relevant parties, of the continuing thefts, thereby enabling the criminalists to continue business as usual behind the smokescreen of Paulson's death. Bullet to provide cover for the stealing of $44 trillion plus that Mr. Cottrell has confirmed to the editor took place behind the hysteria of the Paulson death. Reason the government was happy with the Paulson diversion obviously, since the U.S. Treasury did not deny the shootings, because it couldn't, as they did take place, as elaborated further below, the Treasury was content for the Paulson frenzy to feed on itself, for some reason. What was that reason? It suited the criminal elements in the U.S. government for the reports to remain out there, diverting everyone's attention from what was actually going on behind the scenes, mainly further gross theft and larceny perpetrated under the control of Bush 41, Bush 43, and Cheney and Bush who, you will recall, is the master disinformation and U.S. psyops operative who formerly controlled the MKUltra and related programs based upon Himmlerian black operations techniques imported, lock, stock and barrel by what soon became the criminal Central Intelligence Agency from former Nazi Germany, the qualification former being superfluous, given what is being exposed. Langley HQ bears the name of the world's worst criminal several years ago now. Langley, the headquarters of the Nazi-penetrated criminal enterprise that is devastating the whole world called the Central Intelligence Agency, was renamed the George Bush Center for Intelligence. By this means, George Bush SR, the world's biggest crook, formally eased the absolute control over the CIA that he had wielded de facto, since becoming President Reagan's vice president in 1981. Think about it this way. Suppose there is such a phenomenon as an intelligence white hat, and suppose that the white hats were to have reached the collective conclusion that George Bush SR is indeed the most dangerous and ruthless criminal operative alive. What are they now going to do about it, given that their HQ is named after the world's biggest crook himself? They are stuck and dash, because, in seeking to distance the CIA from this monster godfather, they will have to acknowledge before world public opinion that the CIA is itself the hideous criminal enterprise that we all know it to be. So what do? They decide that they cannot distance the CIA, and themselves, from George Bush SR. And dash the practical consequence of which is that George Bush SR believes that he can do anything he likes, with 100% assumed certainty of perpetual impunity. The CIA is the collective lackey, whether or not it has ever had second thoughts, of George Herbert Walker Bush SR DVD. CIA furious that it has been exposed at the same time, we were informed on 3rd January that the CIA is furious, because it has been exposed, and doesn't know what to do. This criminal enterprise never imagined that there would ever come a time when it would have to deal with this problem. But the ongoing exposure of the CIA consequent upon the criminal cadres' grotesque mishandling of Wondegate can only lead to calls for this dangerous, reprobate and recalcitrant criminal enterprise, the headquarters of which is named after the godfather of criminal godfathers, to be cut down to size or closed down. Permanent closure is actually the only way that the poison seeping out from Langley can ever be contained, and the world spared a truly hellish future. Why should the CIA be furious that it has been exposed, when the exposure of its criminality has been achieved by this Wondegate website, without any assistance at all from the controlled and complacent sidestream media? Surely, the alternative media endeavors to use the pejorative phrase employed by a U.S. Treasury official whose rudeness to one of our correspondents, when he telephoned to establish Paulson's status, was horrendous, one, endeavors can have no relevance in such matters. It doesn't count. What counts is supposed to be what we read in the controlled mainstream. The alternative media, by definition, cannot possibly ever know anything. Why pay attention to it, then, Langley? The basic Paulson facts. So, to summarize on Paulson, further source details below. 1. Paulson was shot in the time frame specified. This was definitively confirmed by Treasury Compliance and was reconfirmed to the editor of this service on 8 January 2008 by Michael C. Cottrell, M.S., with all his extensive authority. 2. The shooting was undertaken by expert special forces marksmen who are quite capable of pass-through shots in accordance with their instructions. Assuming that the intention was not to kill, its purpose was to warn these operatives that their monstrous treason against the United States and the American people will no longer be tolerated. 3. The death of Paulson was a lie, on the assumption, for the purposes of this presentation, that he is not dead, which was then retailed on Bush 41's orders through a compliant grapevine and via the State Department in order to discredit the editor of this service and to trash our reporting. This sting operation has been a failure. 4. In other words, a black operation. A.K.A. A sting was piggybacked onto the actual shootings that indeed took place. This of course has all the hallmarks of Cheney, a ruthless and singularly evil MKUltra operative who has known links with several crime families in Chicago, and with at least one judge in Cook County, Illinois. $44 plus trillion stolen, while the Paulson frenzy continued now, before reverting to the Paulson background and to our sources apart from Treasury Compliance for the shootings report, what has been going on, while the distraction of the Paulson death was consuming the minds of half the planet? Having completed the relevant investigations, Mr. Cottrell informed the editor in the course of the telephone call timed at 2:30 p.m. on 8 January that the smokescreen of the Paulson death report built on top of the actual shootings was manipulated by Cheney and his disinformation apparent for obfuscation purposes, and that bullet $44 plus trillion was stolen and moved to Europe behind this smokescreen, or an attempt to do this was perpetrated, which was partially successful but which has since been frustrated. The primary recipient institution involved was BNP Banque Nationale de Paris, Paribus. This means that the 8 Paribus bankers who were arrested, as we reported earlier, had corrupt accomplices who remained in place, and whose services were activated in connection with the illegal transfer of stolen funds being reported here. Bullet: the stolen funds represented $34 trillion held on C.H.I.P.S. belonging to Chinese parties, see earlier Wandiga reports, plus other monies including Ambassador Wanda's $4.5 trillion, a scandal that has triggered G8 and Chinese retaliation against Citibank, the accounts and assets of which are reported, as of late on 8 January, to have been or to be at risk of being frozen, against the background of Citibank being ordered to pay Wanda and others immediately. See below. Bullet: funds were being dispersed into bank accounts to pay off domestic and foreign politicians and to set up more criminal financial and other operations. In other words, corrupt representatives of the payee countries are helping themselves. Bullet: channels in communication with the principals and this service were arguably lied to concerning all dimensions of these matters, including the usual Greenspan Bush preparing to settle routine whereby prospective country and Tier 1 to 6 recipients, headed by Ambassador Wanda, were to be paid in accordance with a constantly amended Manana timeframe, the standard Bush 41 technique that has been deployed for years. Bullet: these maneuverings followed the usual and changing model of financial deception developed by Dr. Alan Greenspan and Godfather Bush SR, which we have called the Never Pay Syndrome. The way this works is simple in theory. The model requires every outstanding payment of monies and funds leveraged from them, owed to financial scam victims and past investors, and of funds owed to countries and of course all the funds owned by Ambassador Lee Wanda, as sole principal, to be linked and dependent upon other transactions and remittances. That way, sabotage perpetrated by corrupt bankers and operatives at any level of the transaction's gridlock destabilizes the entire payments edifice, so that payments are repeatedly aborted. This procedure is repeated indefinitely. It may be added that further active investigations have been triggered by these and related events, about which the editor has not been informed. Citibank on verge of being shut down following the latest giga theft. Citibank in Hong Kong is virtually owned by the Chinese, who hold approximately 90% of its so-called assets, debt-backed assets. Therefore, the Chinese authorities would have no problem actually causing the demise of Citibank, and were more than entitled to take whatever action they might deem appropriate in the light of the outrageous and despicable last-minute $44 plus trillion, in the aggregate, theft that was perpetrated, or attempted, under cover of the redirection operation surrounding the Paulson shooting and death for Rigo. Bullet: a 10-day deadline for the Wanda and related settlements imposed by the G8 powers expired last Monday, and failing settlement, Citibank may cease to exist and U.S. banks, being non-compliant with Basel II, will be cut out of the world banking system overnight. That would quickly trigger a 50%+ drop in the U.S. standard of living. However, we believe that the massive pressure that has been brought to bear, mainly by this service, in respect of the public domain, may have done the trick, and that the Li Wanda and linked settlements will have been implemented just in the nick of time. This assessment is supported by the fact that we have now removed certain devastating intelligence from the present report, which we had talked over with Mr. Cottrell. We have done this because just prior to this report being posted, Mr. Cottrell received a phone call asking him to request that the editor remove the relevant section, because this matter is being dealt with this morning. This was accompanied by a comment to the effect that you should be very happy later today. Since the parties conveying this request are part of the solution, not part of the problem, we have naturally complied with the proviso that in the event of any further interference with the settlements today, the devastating information that we have removed will be reinserted on the basis that we don't need to comply with anything if we have been deceived. Censored intelligence: the referenced information was removed from here. As indicated in the preceding section, the sensitive intelligence that was to have been posted in this space has been removed at the request of people who are part of the solution, not part of the problem. This has been done on the understanding that, if this editor does not gather that the settlement has been effected today, 9th January 2008, the sensitive intelligence which they wanted removed will be reinserted without further ado. We cannot be told what to do, but we are trying to be helpful. Physical status of Paulson is not a key to understanding here. It needs perhaps to be added that it is neither here nor there, from the perspective of the settlements, whether Paulson is alive or dead now, is it? If he is alive, the sting objective of the criminal black ops apparent was achieved, so they may have briefly imagined, but no longer, we are told. If he is dead, story was right, but he rose from the dead in the format of a supposedly hired double, the sophistication of which improved somewhat between 4th and 8th January, it seems, achieving the same fleeting objective in the perception of those who have little knowledge of U.S. criminal counterintelligence psyops and the willing cooperation of the U.S. mainstream media under the terms of Operation Mockingbird. In other words, the Paulson matter is indeed, viewed in the necessary broader perspective of the ongoing financial stealing and corruption that has been taking place, while the Paulson feeding frenzy has been going on, diversionary. The steps of any black operations model the essence of the attempted black ops sting against the editor of this service, if that was what happened, was applied in accordance with the following model. Mr. Cottrell informed the editor at 5 p.m. on 8th January. Bullet: Step 1, redirect attention decisively away from what's going on / is intended. Bullet: Step 2, obfuscation, create a massive diversion, so that everyone rushes to look at an irrelevance. And in this context, Michael C. Cottrell stresses to the editor that Paulson is indeed an irrelevance. He was shot at and is being used to carry out the obfuscation program directed on behalf of Bush SR by Cheney, while the criminal cadres in the CIA and the relevant banks perpetrated. Bullet Step 3, Colossal Theft of the Funds. As stated above, $44.00 plus trillion was stolen behind the smokescreen provided by this contrived Paulson obfuscation operation. At 4:50 p.m. on 8 January, we were reliably advised that a very large sum of money, thought to have been of the order of $19 trillion, had been recovered from the funds that were stolen behind the Paulson smokescreen. Was Paulson being blackmailed to cooperate? It may reasonably be asked, if Paulson received a pass-through bullet, assuming he is still alive, for the purposes of this analysis, why on earth would he subsequently cooperate with Bush and Cheney in this ghoulish play-acting? Good question. Recall that Paulson resorted to blackmailing the President of the United States, even though Bush Jr. is the highest-ranking crook apart from the Godfather. As reported previously, Paulson's failed blackmail attempt went down like a lead balloon. If, as we are now required to believe, Paulson recovered from his pass-through shooting experience and has been collaborating as a dark actor playing games in this charade, the only possible rationale for such behavior would be that he is himself now being blackmailed by Bush/Cheney, and or threatened that, if he doesn't cooperate, the next bullet will be fatal. Such argumentation stretches the imagination somewhat, and might lead one to suspect that Paulson may indeed be dead, after all, as certain forensic investigators are continuing to tell us. Bush in Chicago to meet with mafia bosses on 7th January, while Paulson was speaking at the Westin Hotel. Bush 43 was in Chicago possibly meeting with representatives of organized crime there in connection with the colossal thefts that had taken place, as described above. Meanwhile, in the background, Bush 41 proclaimed, as Mr. Cottrell reported to the editor, that he would never, ever pay Ambassador Juan de Andache even as the hyper-corrupt President N. Sarkozy of France, of Hungarian Jewish background, too, was supervising safe receipt of the funds stolen in recent days behind the Paulson Black Ops smokescreen. There is also a new corrupt Jordanian connection about which the editor has yet to be informed. Also on 7th January, the preparing to pay syndrome yielded its usual outcome, when it was again revealed that Bush 43 had interfered with the country and Tier 1-6 payments yet again, after the U.S. State Department had confirmed, as had other pay sources that are in touch with the editor, that everything was set to be completed on Tuesday 8th January. Following the exposure of this deception, three officials at the State Department were sacked, according to a usually reliable source who spoke to the editor after 1 a.m. British time in the early morning of 8 January. Who is doing the shooting? Before we revert to our deconstruction of the Paulson shooting and the subsequent obfuscation operation, the question of who is doing the shooting needs to be addressed. It will be recalled that Internal Affairs took over enforcement and other grim activities when it transpired that the provost marshal was not doing his job. It has subsequently emerged that this General Rodney L. Johnson, the provost marshal, an old Cheney associate, had been compromised, having apparently been caught in flagrant on tape. And confirmed reports have since indicated that he was severely dealt with, which is believed to mean that he was incarcerated. The provost marshal appears to have fallen victim to bribery, but Nancy Pelosi, who was once upon a time thought to have been in favor of the Wanda settlement and related payments, may have succumbed to something else. According to a reliable source who provided the editor with this information on 4th January, Pelosi may have been suborned by Mrs. Hillary Radomski Clinton, having been offered the vice presidency ticket on Mrs. Hillary Radomski's now failing election campaign, in exchange for blocking the settlement and related payments. The shooting of a close aide of Mr. Cheney, reported in our posting dated 2nd January, has been separately described to us, as having served Cheney's purposes remarkably well, too. Specifically, this shooting was a kind of sub-operation in which the perpetrator is made to look like the victim, and such a setup that implied that once that Cheney himself was in danger of his life, whereas in actual fact he is the mastermind behind the black operations associated with these bank robberies, which can collectively be described as the biggest bank holdup in world history. Now it may still appear to some uninformed observers that the editor was the victim of a sting, but if that was so, it was true only with respect to the reported death of Paulson, assuming that did not happen, which in turn was based upon deliberate official lies fed to supposedly honest and reliable people. See below. Counterproductive to piggyback such a sting attempt, however, since the pass-through shootings of Mr. Paulson, Mr. Kimmett, and an unnamed senior U.S. Treasury official did indeed take place, it follows that by piggybacking the sting onto the reality of the shootings, the Bushes, Cheney, and others have simply contrived to lengthen the rope by means of which they are in the process of hanging themselves. In other words, they have exacerbated their problems, not the reverse. Because the shootings were true, and the black operation to discredit the editor of this service has drawn additional attention to them. And also the PSYOPs operatives have failed to discredit the editor of this service, which was their intention. Indeed, several sources close to the action have confirmed that the black lies fed to us were intended exclusively for that purpose. The countervailing force inside the U.S. military, who is doing the shooting? The answer to this obvious question is that a countervailing force has developed within the American military, which has understood inter alia that the very actions of the military itself are destroying America's military strength, an objective of malevolent foreign powers. For instance, since the first Gulf War, some 570 veterans and other personnel have fallen ill with so-called Gulf War syndrome, caused not, as some allege, by aspartame in Coca-Cola, which turns into formaldehyde in conditions of great heat, while some 15,000 of their number have died from cancer and other conditions triggered by exposure to depleted uranium. The British Ministry of Defense is criminally covering up a similarly deplorable state of affairs in respect of depleted uranium-related illnesses among British military personnel. The medium-term impact of this state of affairs will be to discourage young Americans from joining up, since it will become known that, due to the use of depleted uranium in armor-busting shells, signing up will mean dying early. This may account for the reported fact that illegal Mexican immigrants are being recruited into the American armed forces, in the context of the unpopularity of Bush's pointless and pitiless wars. Such recruits would be ignorant of the dangers they will face from contact with depleted uranium. Anyway, due inter alia to such practical considerations, the countervailing force inside the U.S. military is hardening in its attitude towards the confused shambles into which its corrupt civilian leaderships have led the armed forces, and is therefore sensitive to other parallel destabilizing developments that threaten the future of the Republic, and that among which, we are now informed, is Watergate and the unprecedented financial corruption that it has dislodged and exposed. Response to the crisis by the military is incremental. We also learned on 8th January 2008 from a newly acquired U.S. source in regular contact with the military, who has specifically been drawing their attention to our reports for the past 11 months, that the measures that are being taken internally by officers to address the corruption crisis are of an incremental nature. This coincides with information retailed by our own contacts speaking with U.S. military personnel regularly. This point should be borne in mind by all those spectators who are understandably impatient for results. When the time came for decisive action to be taken, following Citibank's uncouth behavior in kicking Ambassador Wanda and his diplomatic associates off the Citibank premises in Midtown New York under the supervision of two armed NIPT cops on the 20th of November 2007, Internal Affairs assumed the lead in lieu of the discredited Provost Marshal. Shootings that have taken place to date have been undertaken against known traitors who are also de facto war criminals, such as Paulson and Kimmett, my expert specialists who are literally able to inflict pass-through shootings which wound and may even temporarily incapacitate the targeted perpetrators but do not result in their deaths. It was such precisely targeted shootings that took place on 28/29 December 2007, assuming Paulson did not die later, and although we reiterate that we are not aware that Kimmett has been seen since. Furthermore, at 8:05 p.m. on 4th January, the editor was authoritatively informed that new people were in control at the Treasury, which would make sense if the top three had been taken out. De facto predicted civil war within the U.S. structures. We also know that, effectively, a civil war is raging inside the U.S. federal structures, as this horror story is being played out. For instance, the Special Forces operative seen and reported upon by Washington D.C. firefighters, see the report dated 2 January 2008, was fleeing not, we are now informed by our military-connected sources, from the fire itself, but from Cheney's own U.S. Secret Service agents. That was why the Special Forces operative, whose hand was lacerated when he had to get through a window, refused hospital treatment. This is the first confirmed set between different formations inside the U.S. federal structures that we have been able to report to date. The theft of $44 trillion plus that was perpetrated under cover of the Henry Paulson distraction was preceded inter alia by the following further known monetary thefts and interferences reported to the editor of this service by connected contacts. Bullet at 10:40 p.m. on 3rd January, it was reported to the editor that Bush Jr. and Cheney had changed the banking codes for the settlements again. Bullet $2.0 trillion previously stolen by Bush 41 was recovered on Friday 4th January. Bullet several reports of massive attempted monetary thefts, which were thwarted. Sources, for Paulson's shooting and death. The primary definitive source for our published statement that Paulson was shot on 28/29 December 2007 was Treasury compliance. This fact was reiterated to the editor of this service in emphatic terms at 2:30 p.m. on 8 January by Michael C. Cottrell, M.S., and is indisputable. The source for our knowledge that Robert M. Kimmett, the deputy U.S. Treasury Secretary, and a third senior Treasury official, were shot, also, but see below, on 28/29 December 2007, was a knowledgeable connected source in the United States with whom the editor has been in contact for months, who spoke to the editor at 12:45 p.m. on Thursday 3rd January. We cannot reveal the identity of this source, but the source is of course identified in our retained note of the conversation. At the time it was thought that the attack on Kimmett, who speaks fluent German and was a long-term Bush aide, may have occurred on 2 January, but the shooting is now believed to have occurred in the same time frame as the shooting of Paulson. Intelligence operatives ask Cottrell, if the official killed was Kimmett on 3 January, U.S. operatives telephoned Michael C. Cottrell, M.S., with the request that Mr. Story should not publish anything further on that date, following our report dated 2 January, as the 2 January report was getting in the way of efforts to complete the settlement and payments. Quote, this information is exceptionally significant here. Why, if our report dated 2 January, updated to report Paulson's death, was impeding settlement, is it nevertheless maintained that our report that Paulson died was the product of, as sting to discredit the editor of this service? Presumably the CIA and Cheney are on the same page, or are they not? In the same conversation with Mr. Cottrell, the agency operative who called him, in Mr. Cottrell's own words, asked me, if it was Kimmett who was killed yesterday, implying, A, that our suspicion that Kimmett may have been killed could be true, and B, that the Kimmett shooting or assassination did actually take place on 2nd January, and not on 28/29 December. If the CIA was deceiving Mr. Cottrell, the record stands that on 3rd January, a CIA operative asked Mr. Cottrell whether the official who had been killed on the preceding day was Kimmett. Given such facts, it seems to the editor to be somewhat premature for everyone to assume that the Paulson who surfaced, for instance, at the Westin Hotel on 7th January and on CNBC on the 8th, was actually Paulson himself and not a double, as forensics are telling us was the case. State Department confirms that Paulson died at 4:50 p.m. on Wednesday 2nd January 2006. This source informed the editor by telephone that the State Department have confirmed that Paulson died on 2nd January. On 5th January, the same source informed us, as follows, the State Department confirmed that Paulson is dead. At the time, we again thought that the death occurred, if it did occur, on 2nd January. However, it was subsequently believed that Paulson may have died on the 31st of December. On 7th January, the editor demanded of the same source, verbatim, did the State Department confirm Paulson's death on 2nd January, yes or no, to which the answer was an emphatic yes. At 11:40 p.m. UK time on 5th January, the editor again spoke with this connected source, and asked for the identities of two other distinguished sources that had confirmed that Paulson had died. In this conversation, the source indicated that it was now believed that Paulson may have died on New Year's Eve. Certainly, during the final weekend of the year, the editor became aware that it was thought that Paulson might not make it into 2008. The two distinguished sources for the information that Paulson had died were revealed to be Bullitt, a distinguished former governor of the Federal Reserve, identity known to the editor. Bullitt, an ambassador, identity known to the editor, who has been asked to withhold his identity from this report. We have telephone contact backup for this information. As indicated above, the gold badges who read our report on 2nd January 2008 did not dispute any fact contained therein. Other sources for the shooting data. Other sources for these events included the following. 1. An email dated the 30th of December 2007 and timed, as having been received by the editor at 5:56 p.m. from a high-level U.S. source who, again, has been in contact with the editor of this service from some months. He cannot be identified, but the email is of course in our files. In any public airing of these events, the email message in question, as with all our email traffic and underlying notes, will necessarily confirm everything that is stated here with reference to our sources. It contained the following statement. Chris, I was told that Paulson took a bullet either late Friday or early Saturday. That came from my U.S. intel, with two confirmations. Then today my left square bracket reference to a foreign power right square bracket intel also confirmed it with an odd reply to the question, saying, well, sometimes people take it in the chest. Initially, the editor thought that the phrase took a bullet, not used in England, may have been a figure of speech, and asked for clarification. He asked whether it was a figure of speech or that the phrase should be interpreted literally, applicable also to the foreign intelligence sources' elaboration. The answer was that it should be taken literally. Independent corroboration of Paulson death report at 17:59 UK time on 2nd January 2008, following the publication of our report that Paulson had been shot, updated to incorporate the report that he died, the editor received an email message from a separate connected correspondent, under the heading, Henry M. Paulson, Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, died today from his gunshot wounds, quote. This is true. I have it confirmed from a source of mine. Thanks again, Christopher, for all you do and your amazing courage to carry through this quote. On 3rd January 2008, the website worldwideweb.4wines10.com carried a Casper update which contained the following passage. Bush was confronted today with the death of Paulson. That's a lie, says he. Well, produce him, says he. I can't, says he, he's sick. Yes, dead men are usually sick, before they die, says we. Can you produce the 5 Cheney assistants who have been shot? No. Before we complete this passage from worldwideweb.4wines10.com, consider the following. Bullet, if our report that Paulson had died is a lie, why did the Treasury or the U.S. government not issue a categorical denial of it, given that such a report might be considered a problem for the financial markets? The president's verbal statement that it was a lie should have been followed up by a categorical official denial of the report. Or was it simply that, since the report appeared in a despised alternative media source, it could not be expected to affect the financial markets at all? Bullet, why did White House spokesman Tony Fretho have nothing to say about the report? Bullet, but of course acknowledging that it was a lie was out of the question, wasn't it, because the report was based upon a confirmation from the U.S. State Department, that, we can reveal, my statements by an ambassador and a former distinguished governor of the Federal Reserve that Paulson had died. So the president was not only contradicting the State Department, but was also saying that the State Department had lied. Did he warn Condoleezza Rice that he would contradict the State Department's confirmation? Apparently not. Bullet, note that Bush 43 stated that he could not produce Paulson, because he is sick. On the basis that the shooting was passed through, Henry Paulson would have been sick, because he was still recovering from the shooting, which was not fatal. That would account for the appearance of an almost motionless Paulson cadaver at the staged appearance that took place in the White House on 4th January, even though the Treasury's website had explicitly stated that no appearances by Treasury officials had been scheduled for between the 22nd of December and 4th January. Alternatively, he was sick, because he was dead, and his subsequent choreographed appearances have indeed been performances by a hired doppelganger. Bullet, observed that Casper referenced 5 Cheney aides who had been shot, whereas we only knew of one. Since the president did not dispute the information contained in the question, namely that 5 Cheney aides had been shot, we believe that this information has to be correct. Instead of disputing that 5 Cheney aides had been shot, the criminal president simply said that he could not produce them. Obviously not, because they had been shot. The Casper passage concluded. The 3 administration people arrested per story update were taken to The Hague. Bush mumbled something about an instant recession, if. Allow us to elaborate here. Bullet, the first statement provides confirmation that the 3 who were arrested, as we stated in our report dated 2nd January, were administration officials, as we thought, not bankers. These officials were transferred to the jurisdiction of the International Court of Justice in The Hague. Like the 2 Americans held by the Israelis pending payment of the funds that Paulson double-crossed them over, see the same report, these 3 U.S. officials can be considered hostages pending the necessary settlements. Very interesting. Bullet, the criminal president's mumble about an instant recession, if, was clearly a reference to his perverse stance that, if Basel II is implemented and applied in the United States, the corrupt banks on the books' finances will be severely constrained, tipping the country into a recession at once, which is happening anyway. Being interpreted, what he was trying to say but didn't, was that his repeated interferences with the settlements represented an operation to frustrate and jeopardize or destroy Basel II, so that corrupt business as usual could continue, as though nothing had happened. By extension, the desperate jig effects that took place under cover of the Paulson obfuscation represented a frantic response by these cornered financial criminals to grab back as much of the stolen loot as they can, just in case they fail to frustrate the implementation of the new Basel II on the books banking regime, precluding corrupt business as usual. At 5.20 p.m. on Saturday, 5th January, an authoritative source in the southwest of the United States was reported to the editor to have stated, with reference to Paulson, "He's gone." He added that no one is not accessible. This email, too, is resident, of course, in our files. Military contacts of independent source confirm the death on 4th January 2008. Patrick J. Bellreiner posted the following comments in response to this message, typical of many that we also received in similar vein, on the worldwideweb.4wines10.com website. "I saw Paulson on CNBC at 2 p.m. EST sitting next to Bush. This should put an end to this Paulson death nonsense." Like so many others, this helpful correspondent revealed his naivety and failure to understand that an image on a TV screen nowadays can lie, and may even have no meaning. The information on the screen may be entirely virtual, which these critics appear for some weird reason not to understand. Bellreiner responded inter alia, as follows: "I have been slammed with email from doubters like you about the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury Henry Paulson's death being a hoax, and that I am a liar from claiming that Henry is now dead, because you saw him on TV sitting with President G.W. Bush and V.P. Cheney. I ask, what did you see? Did Henry move? Did he speak? Did you see his eyes move? Were you looking at a video made by the CIA in their Hollywood studio? Were you looking at a look-alike, double, a holographic image or even a solid hologram? Is Henry Paulson dead? My military sources, some of whom participated in the incident in which Paulson was killed, say this is true. I have been informed that the Henry Paulson family are now making funeral arrangements. Why is this so, if he were alive? You must choose whom you are willing to believe. As Christopher Story has said, you cannot have it both ways. Make up your mind which sources you trust, but don't, please, burden us with your unbelief." In a Casper update posted on worldwideweb.4wines10.com on 4th January, the reporter commented, "We have at least as many sources as Story claiming he is deceased and today's video a fraud. One source says the family acknowledged his passing the day it happened. U.S. military sources, banking sources, even Wikipedia, said it's true. The Wikipedia obit, right below his picture, was removed within hours of posting. Another source said the family was making funeral arrangements. Others speak of a stand-in. Fox News and all present at the meeting of economic advisors would have to be in on the scam." Some closing forensic observations separately. On 3rd January, a correspondent drew our attention to the fact that the Wikipedia entry for Henry M. Paulson suddenly contained the phrase "died, to January 2008 beneath the library photograph of this criminal operative. Now the text in that segment of a Wikipedia page is always blue. The date of death was shown in black. When the editor checked the site, immediately after receiving the correspondent's email, the date of death was missing. The correspondent later confirmed that he had verified that the date of death had been there, but that it had been removed within hours of posting. Forensic examinations of all the relevant tapes are in progress, and copies of all the post-mortem appearances of Paulson have been acquired. This subject is getting too complicated to elaborate here, but a number of odd findings are worth adding now. BulletNewsDay.com, which had carried a report of the hastily convened meeting at the White House ostensibly between Bush Jr., Paulson, Bernanke and Leeser, Chairman, Council of Economic Advisers, had removed this report by 6th January, so that the listing jumped from articles published on 3rd January to 5th January, with nothing listed for 4th January at all. Bullet: a supposed photograph of the meeting, shown on the Treasury website, has Bush Jr., Paulson, Bernanke and Lazier in that order, with Mr. Lazier furthest from the camera, the only problem being that a portion of Bernanke's head, which is further from the camera than Paulson quote, intrudes over Paulson's head. Bullet: a Treasury Department photograph monitored on 8th January, supposedly of the staged event on 4th January, had been changed. Paulson was standing to one side. An expert points out that this picture was suspiciously identical to a known photograph of Paulson speaking at Georgetown Law School. Bullet: official pictures about the meeting on 4th January included one shot of President Bush and Paulson, with Cheney, who was not mentioned anywhere as participating at the meeting. Some reports on Paulson's supposed video appearance at the staged event on 4th January suggested that the person in question was under severe strain. Bullet: if the Paulson video appearance at the staged meeting on 4th January was bogus, certain preliminary forensic findings support such a conclusion. For instance, in video insertion and manipulation of Paulson's headshot and hands took place, this would explain bizarre movements and expressions, with Paulson quote shirt collar remaining still most of the time despite the head movement. The basic software being used for such fakery is the same, presumably, as that used in the fraudulent videos still concocted by the CIA purporting to be the updated ruminations of Osama bin Laden, who actually died in Minnesota on the 26th of December 2001. Bullet: fact, the late John Chambers, who died in 2001, was the key makeup to go expert for the CIA. The current leading experts in making up doubles are believed to be Hollywood's Rick Baker and Robert Seidel, a former colleague of Chambers. Forensic examinations of video footage of the post-mortem appearances are reliably reported to contain curious anomalies. Explanations of these will have to wait until later, or they appear in the editor's Wondigut book, in preparation. The actual shootings have not been covered up. The main point to take away from this report is that part of the Paulson matter may have been an attempted black ops discrediting operation. It impressed a small proportion of gullible people, augmented by paid Cheney psyops hacks who have bombarded the editor with abusive emails as a consequence. After a few were examined, these were all trashed and read. But the shootings were real, as the death may still turn out to be, it may be too early to be sure, and have not been covered up. Therefore, to attempt a sting operation against the editor of this service on the back of the shootings was an act of desperation by the dark forces who have been exposed by Wondigut through this website. The sting was also a diversion to redirect attention away from what was happening and edge jigger theft on a gargantuan scale, A.K.A. corrupt business as usual. As should soon become clear, this massive criminal and diversionary psyops operation has crumbled. Touch and go again, will the catastrophe be prevented? While vast amounts of the stolen funds were quickly recovered and edged, the four promised teams monitoring these illicit financial thefts and movements 24/7 have had no rest and edged. The issue that matters is whether the tiny cabal of world-class criminals will finally be stopped, by means which this editor has no right to speculate about, or whether the financial and economic crash that we predicted on the 2nd of September 2006 and again in the summer of 2007 and dash will be allowed, thanks to the satanic intransigence of these ruthless madmen, simply to occur, because the relevant powers inside the U.S. structures fail to take whatever action they might consider appropriate in the circumstances. As this report was being closed, we were being told that Citigroup has had all its assets, as well as its gold, frozen. This information was provided to the editor by email at 2:12 p.m. on 8th January. It could not be confirmed at this closing, but the very surfacing of such a report indicates where we are at and edge which the redirected Paulson diversion does not. Incremental military progress could be too slow. One final point. As indicated above, the belated response of the counterforce within the U.S. military plus the relevant elements of the military power are operating incrementally. We have this information from two separate military sources. Therefore, events such as those that have taken place in recent weeks, and others that we don't yet know much about, are, by definition, having incremental consequences. If you haven't yet understood what is going on, as these forces come to the rescue of the Republic at the last moment, bear that important fact in mind. And it's not 1 minute to midnight. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, in case those who have been fast asleep hadn't noticed. More indications of Paulson identity fraud being received from all over. The following indications that the virtual reality folks have been playing around with Paulson images, and that our suspicions on this score may be well founded. 1. From an expert in these matters. Play the Microsoft Media Player video http://worldwide.white.house.gov/news/releases/2008/1/20,080,144.wm.vhtml. Right click your mouse. While video is playing, left square bracket, may have to try this a few times. Right square bracket, click zoom, click full screen, right click your mouse. While playing, again click play speed, click slow, left square bracket, watch entire video, right square bracket, notice the rear right portion of Paulson's head blends in with the yellow left square bracket or gold right square bracket stripe on the blue navy flag, in the background, when he turns his head back and forth wherein, thusly, the polygon left square bracket shape around the edges of an object right square bracket of his head is not at all definitive. This is indicative of video alteration, commonly called being photoshopped, named after the popular graphics, photo and video manipulative Photoshop software, though many other similar professional software packages that can do all this, also exist. Note. 1. The source's email dated 6th January 2008 and timed at 5:47 a.m. UK time, stated, "I called the Department of the Treasury and they acted very strange. The man I spoke to refused to identify himself and would only answer questions with questions ridiculing my willingness to believe alternative news sources. He was totally insolent and rude and hung up on me." 2. An experienced businessman and traveler known to the editor of this service, who has had extensive business in Hungary, informs us that Hungarian crooks are among the most ruthless and dangerous category of mobsters in the world. Bullet editor's note, we are still, from time to time, receiving emails from frustrated people seeking documentation to back up what we publish in these reports. Such correspondents choose to overlook the well-known fact that we have published several huge issues of International Currency Review which contain hundreds of pages of facsimiles of relevant documents. Since we are a commercial operation, we cannot make these volumes available free of charge. Bullet, however, copies are available in many university and other libraries around the world, and of course they can be ordered via this website at any time. But the main point here is that complaints along these lines reveal lack of knowledge of the background, which is that an immense volume of relevant documents has been published, while these reports are approved where necessary and appropriate either by the principals or by Michael C. Cottrell, M.S., before being posted. In the case of this presentation, the editor conveyed a copy of the report for Mr. Cottrell's attention, as a courtesy and at the same time to ensure that what has now been published here does not cut across matters of an intensified nature that are currently in hand. Legal section, please read this information, as it indicates the depth of the depravity that Wondegate has exposed. Repetition of this basic data is still necessary. Bullet, we now repeat, yet again, our familiar summary of the statutes, securities regulations and fraud information that we have appended to these reports for many months. The reason we append this information is to remind everyone of their clear responsibilities under the U.S. misprision of felony legislation, and of course to provide a legal basis for these reports. Legal recapitulation from report dated 30th August 2007. Reiteration of the fraudulent transactions involving Bank of New York Mellon and Asia Bank, so arrogant and conspicuously indifferent both to its tarnished reputation and to its grotesque breaches of U.S. law and of N.A.S.D.S.E.C. regulations, that it now takes first prize in the crowded competition for the title of most arrogant and corrupt financial institution in America. At least, this was the case until the perpetration of the Saturday scam described above and on the 14th of November. Step 1. Fraud in the inducement, (points) is intended to and which does cause one to execute an instrument, or make an agreement, (points). The misrepresentation involved does not mislead one, as the paper he signs, but rather misleads as to the true facts of a situation, and the false impression it causes is a basis of a decision to sign or render a judgment. Source, Stephen H. Jiffis, Law Dictionary, 5th edition, Hapubj, Barron's Educational Series, Incorporated, 2003, S.V. Fraud. Step 2, fraud in fact by deceit, obfuscation and denial, and theft. Bullet: actual fraud. Deceit: concealing something or making a false representation with an evil intent. (scanter, (right), when it causes injury to another. (points). Source, Stephen H. Jiffis, Law Dictionary, 5th edition, Hapubj, Barron's Educational Series, Incorporated, 2003, S.V. Fraud. Bullet: the tort of fraudulent deceit. (points). The elements of actionable deceit are: a false representation of a material fact made with knowledge of its falsity, or recklessly, or without reasonable grounds for believing its truth, and with intent to induce reliance thereon, on which plaintiff justifiably relies on his injury. (points). Source, Stephen H. Jiffis, Law Dictionary, 5th edition, Hapubj, Barron's Educational Series, Incorporated, 2003, S.V. Deceit. Step 3, theft by deception and fraudulent conveyance. Theft by deception. Bullet: fraudulent concealment. (points). The hiding or suppression of a material fact or circumstance which the party is legally or morally bound to disclose. (points). Bullet: the test of whether failure to disclose material facts constitutes fraud is the existence of a duty, legal or equitable, arising from the relation of the parties. Failure to disclose a material fact with intent to mislead or defraud under such circumstances being equivalent to an actual fraudulent concealment. (points). Bullet: to suspend running of limitations, it means the employment of artifice, planned to prevent inquiry or escape investigation and mislead or hinder acquirement of information disclosing a right of action, and acts relied on must be of an affirmative character and fraudulent. (points). Source, Black, Henry Campbell, M.A. Black's Law Dictionary, Revised 4th edition, St. Paul, West Publishing Company, 1968. S.V. Fraudulent concealment. Fraudulent conveyance. Bullet: fraudulent conveyance. (points). A conveyance or transfer of property, the object of which is to defraud a creditor, or hinder or delay him, or to put such property beyond his reach. (points). Bullet: conveyance made with intent to avoid some duty or debt due by or incumbent on person, entity, making transfer. (points). Source, Black, Henry Campbell, M.A. Black's Law Dictionary, Revised 4th edition, St. Paul, West Publishing Company, 1968. S.V. Fraudulent conveyance. Securities regulations of which Bank of New York Mellon is in breach and of which the six levy banks may likewise be variously in breach. (left)/. Credit Suisse, OBS, Deutsche Bank, Bank of America, Citibank, the Bank of England. (right)/. Bullet: NAST Rule 3120, and others. Bullet: NAST Rule 2330, Another bullet nest conduct rules 2110 and 3040 bullet nest conduct rules 2110 and IM21101 bullet nest conduct rules 2110 and SEC rule 15C321 bullet nest conduct rules 2110 and 3110 bullet SEC rules 17A3 and 17A4. Bullet nest conduct rules 2110 and procedural rule 8210 bullet nest conduct rules 2110 and 2330 and IM2330 bullet nest conduct rules 2110 and IM21105 bullet nest systems and program rules 6950 through 6957. In addition to which Bank of New York Mellon is in violation of Bullet 97-13 Bank Secrecy Act, Record Keeping Rule for Funds Transfers and Transmittals of Funds, and others. Laws breached by criminal operatives who have hijacked Ambassador Sirleigh Rwanda's $4.05 trillion settlement agreed at the highest U.S. levels in bad faith in May 2006, and have continued their serial crimes ever since. Bullet Annunzio Wiley Anti-Money Laundering Act Bullet Anti-Drug Abuse Act Bullet Applicable International Money Laundering Restrictions Bullet Bank Secrecy Act Bullet Conspiracy to Commit and Cover Up Murder Bullet Crimes General Provisions Accessory After the Fact Left Square Bracket Title 18 Ascribed Square Bracket Bullet Currency and Foreign Transactions Reporting Act Bullet Economic Espionage Act Bullet Hobbs Act Bullet Imparting or Conveying False Information Left Square Bracket Title 18 Ascribed Square Bracket Bullet Maloney Act Bullet Misprision of Felony Left Square Bracket Title 18 Ascribed Square Bracket 1 Bullet Money Laundering Control Act Bullet Money Laundering Suppression Act Bullet Organized Crime Control Act of 1970 Bullet Perpetration of Repeated Egregious Felonies by State and Federal Public Employees and their Departments and Agencies, which are co-responsible with the said employees for ongoing illegal and criminal actions, to sustain fraudulent operations and crimes in order to cover up criminal activities and high crimes and misdemeanors by present and former holders of high office under the United States Bullet Provisions pertaining to private business transactions being protected under both private and criminal penalties left square bracket H.R. 3723 right square bracket bullet provisions prohibiting the bribing of foreign officials left square bracket F.I.S.A. right square bracket bullet racketeer influenced and corrupt organizations act left square bracket R.I.C.O. right square bracket Bullet Securities Act 1933 Bullet Securities Act 1934 Bullet Terrorism Prevention Act Bullet Treason Legislation, especially in time of war. This list shows to what extent the Bush Second Administration condones one rule of law for the rest of us, and absolute contempt for domestic and international law for the officials and bankers who are illegally diverting and exploiting Rwanda's funds. The directors and others listed in Part 1 of the Wandigate listing of institution directors and others posted on the 11th of June may likewise be accessories to the fact of, and or co-conspirators in, willingly or unwillingly, the egregious violation of the laws itemized above. This list is reproduced in International Currency Review, Volume 33, Number S1 and 2, September 2007, on pages 163-168. U.S. Code, Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 1, Section 4, Misprision of Felony. Whoever, having knowledge of the actual commission of a felony cognizable by a court of the United States, conceals and does not as soon as possible make known the same to some judge or other person in civil or military authority under the United States, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years, or both. Wikipedia update dated the 2nd of December 2007. Wikipedia is part of an NSA discrediting operation. As previously reported, the editor's attention was drawn, in the second half of November 2007, to a pack of old lies, diversionary claptrap and disinformation posted on Wikipedia under Leo Wanda. Although this posting appeared for the first time on the 12th of November 2007, it consisted almost entirely of ancient lies, including disinformation dredged out of Thieves World, a hatchet job published in 1994 by Simon & Schuster by the late Claire Sterling, a CIA operative. Mrs. Sterling died suddenly after being summoned for her second meeting with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, under Clinton. Ancient discredited lies posted in November 2007. The fact that the old Wikipedia lies appeared for the first time as late as the 12th of November 2007, and consisted almost totally of old, discredited lies, omitting the master lie that the CIA retailed after the ambassador had been taken down, namely that he was dead, indicated quite clearly to the editor and his advisors that this latest evil display of regurgitated disinformation represented a deliberate operation by the U.S. intelligence community's disinformation and lie machine to begin, all over again, the process of discrediting Ambassador Leo Wanda Endesh, so that they can relieve him of his funds by some false pretext or other after a gag order has been signed. The definitive up-to-date information on the ambassador's affairs has been published on this website, and in several issues of International Currency Review, Economic Intelligence Review, Soviet Analyst and Arab-Asian Affairs, all published by World Reports Limited, for several years. Copies of these publications are in official, institutional and library hands all over the world. Therefore, any posting about Ambassador Wanda that relies upon ancient lies and fails to take account of the accurate information that we have published can easily be demonstrated to represent yet another U.S. intelligence community and sad discrediting operation. Prelude to setting up Wanda all over again. We now understand that the principals have been advised, for the past several weeks, that they will not be allowed to reveal that they have been paid. This loony state of affairs is designed to set them up for a future discrediting operation whereby false witness will be deployed against them to the effect that they have stolen the money, or some such pack of lies, which they will be unable to refute, because they will be bound by the prerequisite gag order that is intended. Its purpose, of course, is to legitimize the old and new lies that the U.S. disinformation apparatus will be preparing for future use. The likelihood is that the new discrediting operation will be extended to Michael C. Cottrell, M.S., as well. We are prepared for this intended onslaught. Editor's true report repeatedly replaced my old lies. On the 19th of November, the editor posted on Wikipedia the accurate text about Leo Wanda that is now reproduced below. The editor's accurate text was then removed by Wikipedia, leaving the old lies that had existed previously. When the editor became aware of this, he reposted the accurate text below, and, given that his own copy had been deleted, he then deleted the pack of lies, leaving his own accurate text up on the Wikipedia site instead, without the lies. On the 2nd of December, the editor was advised by a monitor that the editor's accurate text had been removed and that the old discrediting lies had been reposted on the page by Wikipedia. When the editor checked, he found that the page could no longer be edited because of what the site managers described as vandalism. It's vandalism to post the truth, not vandalism to post lies. It was not vandalism to delete the truth and to replace the truth by old lies, but it was vandalism to delete old lies and replace them by the truth. We are therefore able to conclude from this Wikipedia outrage as follows. 1. Wikipedia, which purports to change the world, prefers lies to the truth. 2. Wikipedia is therefore, by definition, a source of disinformation and lies, and cannot be trusted as a source of reliable information in any context. 3. The only category of sick society that would have any interest in disseminating lies about Ambassador Wanda, the United States' greatest living patriot, rather than the truth, is the mentally disturbed U.S. counterintelligence disinformation apparatus, A.K.A. the U.S. stupidity community, which, by its actions in deleting the editor's accurate information and replacing it with old lies, and by its illegal behavior in snipping our website texts, as stated above, thereby reveals the desperation of its concerns, which all have to do with covering up official criminality. 4. It is now far too late for the U.S. stupidity community to repair the damage that it has done, since June 2006, when the ambassador's funds were first hijacked by the criminal financial operative Henry M. Paulson, U.S. Treasury Secretary. So it is laying the groundwork for a renewed discrediting operation against Ambassador Wanda and his colleagues. Bullet, we and others will see to it that this intention is defeated, and that such nefarious scheming is exposed for the amoral and disgusting Luciferian behavior that it represents. The accurate text that the editor posted on the Wikipedia site follows. The editor, after all, paid for Ambassador Wanda's exit from probation, for goodness sake, so he can hardly be a source of disinformation, can he? This information will be very widely distributed by other means, in order to provide all concerned with the necessary heads up as to what these U.S. dark forces have in mind. They are out of their minds and in Satan's mind. The disinformation about Lee Wanda, below was first posted on the 12th of November 2007. It contains ancient CIA disinformation and long since exposed lies going back to the early 1990s, and obfuscates the truth. The report appended immediately below was added on the 19th of November 2007, to correct the disinformation contained in the original stub. It was subsequently removed and is hereby replaced. This sequence of events, which suggests that egregious lies are preferred to the truth, has been recorded on worldwideweb.worldreports.org, which contains all the updated and breaking Wanda material that was ignored and traduced in the stub at the foot of this report. The accurate text that Wikipedia repeatedly deleted, this is the correct information that we posted on the 19th of November 2007. The information posted below represents a deliberately malevolent, false disinformation picture which has no bearing on reality. It is a travesty of the truth of the matter and cites Christopher Story as the author of some of the disinformation, which is libelous and implies that Story, the veteran editor of International Currency Review of nearly 40 years standing, is engaged in the egregious dissemination of lies, which is not the case. This is such an egregiously malevolent stub of disinformation that readers should prudently dismiss it altogether. They should start afresh by accessing Christopher Story's website, which is worldwideweb.worldreports.org, reading from the archive. Worldwideweb.worldreports.org is the authoritative source for all updated information on Ambassador Lee M. Wanda. The source Thieves World was a CIA disinformation work prepared by the late CIA disinformation operative Claire Sterling, published in 1994. This stub regurgitates ancient lies perpetrated by the CIA, which lied for many years that Lee, Leo being his intelligence community name, Wanda was dead. The CIA proclaimed that he was dead so that corrupt cotters could ransack his funds, see below. He ceased to be dead with effect from the 21st of July 2005 after Christopher Story, a British private citizen, had paid $35,000 from his scarce private funds pro bono publico by way of restitution to an American lawyer for onward payment to the Wisconsin State Department of Corrections, to procure Mr. Wanda's release from his illegal probation. Despite his ambassadorial status, Wanda had been illegally taken down in Switzerland on the 7th of July 1993 without a warrant on a trumped-up Wisconsin state charge of having failed to pay $14,129 in falsely assessed Wisconsin state fabricated tax that he never owed, because he had been resident in Vienna on U.S. presidential intelligence work since June 1988. This data is all in the public domain, has been published for several years in International Currency Review, the Journal of the World Financial Community, and can be read on Mr. Story's website. International Currency Review is a banking and financial journal with a worldwide circulation, ISIN 00206490. It is published by World Reports Limited, London. Notwithstanding that this fabricated tax demand, orchestrated by U.S. criminal intelligence, had been paid twice under protest by Lee Mulwanda from abroad, in May and June 1992, the funds were improperly allocated by the Wisconsin State Department of Revenue and were never credited to the false account maintained by them for the ambassador. Christopher Story holds documentary proof of both payments. They were paid a third time by Christopher Story in June 2005, which action duly procured Mr. Wanda's release from illegal probation effective the 14th of November 2005. As a consequence of Wanda thus ceasing to be dead, the CIA's lie that he was dead collapsed in chaos, and all the subsidiary old false witness lies that the CIA had perpetrated, including those assembled for disinformation purposes in the stub below, which, in line with the standard false witness used throughout by detractors, attempts to portray Christopher Story as a source of disinformation, were discredited as well. Why was Wanda taken down? So that the criminal intelligence cotters running the U.S. government could ransack the $27.5 trillion of funds assembled by Leo Wanda on President Reagan's orders, in the course of his financial warfare operations against the USSR. Under Reagan's Executive Order 12,333 of 1981, U.S. intelligence officers were permitted to establish corporations which could thereafter contract with the CIA/DIA/D/NSA and others for the purpose of fulfilling allotted intelligence tasks allocated to them. The financial proceeds of operations conducted by such corporations were consequently the property of the corporations and thus of their shareholders, a legal fact of life which has never been, and cannot be, disputed. This was not a good idea, because almost all U.S. intelligence operatives are liars and do not function on the basis of the rule of law at all, if they can help it. Lee Wanda is the well-known patriotic exception to this rule. He operates solely in accordance with U.S. law, in contrast to the behavior of other U.S. operatives, which is why the cacocracy needed to remove him from the scene, as duly occurred July 1993. Once Wanda had been illegally arrested, contrary to international law, as a diplomat, and then thrown into a stinking Swiss jail on the 7th of July 1993, the criminal cotters inside the U.S. official structures immediately ransacked Mr. Wanda's bank accounts according to plan. The history of this matter is, and has been, elaborated in great depth on Christopher Story's website worldwideweb.worldreports.org, and has been extensively published, as mentioned, in International Currency Review and other World Reports Limited intelligence publications. Students are advised perhaps to begin with the Wisconsin Bureau report dated the 6th of August 2007, which forensically dissects, with detailed documentary backup, the Wisconsin Department of Revenue's tax fabrication operation against Wanda, stretching back for over 20 years, that has been exposed by Christopher Story in minute detail, and which formed the fabricated basis for Wanda's illegal tackdown in 1993, despite the fact that Wisconsin has no jurisdiction beyond its borders. The overall Wandagate crisis, which is the sole and continuing underlying cause of the prevailing global financial and economic day of reckoning that the world is now facing, has been triggered by the fact that the George W. Bush Jr. White House, aided and abetted by other senior office holders, hijacked the compromise financial settlement of $4.5 trillion that the White House itself agreed, in a classified accord that was finalized in May 2006, should be paid over to Ambassador Wanda, so that the stolen and diverted remaining $23 trillion of his funds, and the many hundreds of trillions of dollars hypothecated upon them, could be released from a de facto lien arising from the collapse of the CIA's lie that Wanda was dead. for clearly, since he had ceased to be dead, 100% of these funds, plus the hundreds of trillions of fiat funny money generated by illegal leveraged operations from that base, belonged to Li Wanda and to no one else, a situation that the banks could not handle. The entire narrative of what has become the worst financial corruption crisis in world history, which this stub consisting of disinformation attempts to obfuscate, is set out in great detail on Christopher Story's website worldwideweb.worldreports.org, to which all readers are directed in order for the accurate state of affairs to be understood. As indicated, this stub below is a travesty and a disgrace, as it regurgitates long since discredited CIA lies, presents a diversionary, distorted and misleading picture, and because it malevolently incorporates Christopher Story as a source for some of this disinformation. It is a disgusting instance of ignorant and malevolent U.S. counterintelligence disinformation and deceit at its very worst. All the statements in the above commentary may be verified by reference to worldwideweb.worldreports. File limits exceeded. Please use supplied links for podcast updates or go to smstudios.net. Till next time, JSM.